Amen. You know, there's so much that we need to do. That's what we're the body of Christ. There's so much we need to do. Aren't you glad somebody brought the gospel to your door? Aren't you glad somebody loved you enough not to send you out running, but actually took time to tell you about a Savior? You know, sometimes we get so self-consumed about all our little problems and so forth and so on. You know, I was, Pastor Dallas gave a tremendous Sunday school lesson this morning, and he was talking about, you know, trials and troubles and so forth and so on, and all the stuff that we go through, and he was talking about all the things that Joseph went through in the Bible, you know, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but sometimes one of those things would happen in somebody's life, and that's like, well, okay, now I'll shut down. I can't live the rest of life. You know what? Has God fallen off the throne? Did he breathe his last breath? Is he not able to deliver? Is he not able to take us through those things? And we live in a society, oh me, oh my, you know, instead of amen. It's oh me, how am I going to live? Listen, I know there's problems with my soul. You go back and read that. Read what Joseph went through. And then start trying to decide whether ours is a big problem or not. Really, it's amazing. That's not my message. Get 2 Kings, if you will, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse number 7. An odd little story here, beginning of chapter 6 of 2 Kings. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, verses 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. Odd little story. You follow along with me here. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha. Now the sons of the prophets, Elijah, which was the predecessor to Elisha, apparently had a school of the prophets, if you will. You could say a seminary. It was a preacher's college, if you will. This was a place where men who felt called of God to give out the word of God went to learn the word of God, to be used of God. These people are coming to learn the word of God. And to be honest with you, there's a little bit of study, a little bit of argument about this, but there's a good chance that these men went there with their whole families. They lived there and probably had their families there. And so it says that these men, of course, when Elijah went up in the clouds, he put his mantle down. Elisha said, I want twice as much of the spirit of Elijah on me than he had. And the fact is, he has twice as many miracles. And there's nothing, by the way, that's not greedy. God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me big time. The prayer of Jabez says, Lord, expand my coast. Do something with me. Life is short. I only have so much time. Do something. Get a vision. You know what, by the way, we get so caught up in things. Let God give you a vision. Now, don't get, well, I'm going to be the greatest and control everybody. That God's not going to listen to that. You give yourself to be used, and when God finds you faithful a little, he may expand your coast a little bit. He may give you a little bit more influence. He may give you a bigger place to serve. But the fact is, what we got to do is give ourselves wholly surrendered unto him. We find out that we have nothing to give. You'd be surprised what God can do. Little as much when God is in it. You know, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. The crown may be there, but don't go looking for the crown. Go look to serve. You'd be surprised what God will do. So he says here, there's the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, verse 1, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Now that's kind of all fancy words, but basically it says the dorms are getting too small. The dorms are getting too small. We got more infos coming all the time. That word straight is like the word straitjacket. I mean, we're just walking around here. It's like there's hardly any room to budge. I mean, it's a great thing, but Elisha, the place is just getting a little bit small. Verse 2, they say to him, says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, And take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. Go, well, okay, go ahead. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Now as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Oh man, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, which is the same word as wood, he cut down a beam, and cast it in thither, and the iron, the axe head, did swim. Now, my guess is it wasn't doing the backstroke, okay? It just kind of floated to the top, okay? It did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. He put out his hand and took it. There it was. No problem. That's done. Let's move on. Let's take a little bit of time here this morning, and I'll talk about this. God can float your axe. God can float your axe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of these folks. And we went through on. Lord, I know the church is not about money. And I have not made this place to be about money. It's about you. And yet, Lord, just like this piece of scripture is, there's times where we need to do some work. And your blessing. And we have to prepare for those blessings. And Lord, you've blessed in a very great way, and we're very grateful. Now, Lord, I pray that you give us your word here this morning. May your Holy Spirit move. Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, somehow, something said, whatever it is, work in their heart. Lord, I know that we can settle that this morning because your word is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. You've given your word. Thank you for that. Lord, there are going to be some people in here that feel stuck right where they are. They have had some pretty tough things happen in their life. And yet, Lord, you can get us over this, and it could be just a bump in the road if we give you the issue. And you can float it. You can make it work out. You can help us move on to the next step. And Lord, for our ministry here, I know there's going to be some application there as well. There's so much. Like the song that was sung, there's people out there who are hurting. There's people who need to be saved. There's families that are broken up. There's little kids who don't hardly have a home. There are just so many people, and all that, most of it is just the remnants, the product of sin. And as it says there in Romans 6:23, when it says the wage of sin is death, in the context there, it really just says that sin just kills. It just kills. And Lord, we want to bring life and life more abundant, because that's what you came to do. And Lord, you said, as the Father has sent you, so send you us. So Lord, we pray that you will work here in a very great way and use us. That may we make sure we fully play our part, our role in Dover and in York County to win this area for Christ. And help them to grow in Christ, to be able to live victoriously. Lord, we put it all in your hands. We'll give you the praise for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go back to that passage real quick here. Talk about the story real quick, and they're going to make a few points. It says, the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, and by the way, the word Elisha means God of supplication, God of riches. Remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about Elisha. And remember this, that when the prophet spoke during the Old Testament, they didn't have this book to stand up and read. What they had, they did have the law, but that's about all they had. They had some history, but not a whole lot of that. And so really, when the prophet of God spoke at that time, it was basically God speaking directly to them. In fact, God told Aaron that Moses would be as God to him. In other words, when Moses said it, it came from me, listen to him. And that's the kind of the way it was with the prophets. The prophets said it. They weren't God. They were not God, but they were the spokesman, the mouthpiece of God. So when they went to it, you could say they was almost worshiping these prophets. No, I mean, I'm sure there's some folks who did, but that wasn't the point. They were saying, I need to hear from God. There's a seer, if you will, S-E-E-R, a seer, one who sees the things of God. I want to know what God has to say. So he was the representative, the spokesman of God. So the prophet brings the word of God to man. The priest takes man to God. And so they're the mediator. But you see, Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. He does it all. And that's who he is. Now the prophet, that came the prophet, in this particular Elisha, When you say the word Elisha, it's like saying, okay, God of supplication, one I can pray to, as she sang, which I didn't know she was going to sing this morning, but the one I can pray to, and then it says, and the God of riches. What's that mean? The God, the one that you can ask, that you says, in other words, you can ask God for all your needs, and God has everything that's needed to answer the prayer. Let me say that again. God is the one you ask, and God has everything that you can ask. And can do exceedingly abundantly what you could ask or think. Now, he says, so they went to the Elisha, who can do everything and has everything. I mean, the one who represents the God who has this. He says, behold now. He says, look. He says, you know what, Elisha? This place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's a little bit tight. It's getting a little bit close in here. And that word dwell means to sit down, to remain, to settle into. It even has the idea to marry, to establish, to abide, to make, to keep house. So in other words, he's saying this place that we all live in day after day after day, our families here and so forth, and this is really great. I mean, this is where they go to learn the Word of God. It's just getting a little tight around here. And it's just getting a little straight. It says, I tell you what, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thee every man a beam. Take thence. He does. So we're all going to go over there, and when we get there, we're all going to get a beam, a big old log. We're going to make ourselves a couple of log houses here. Every man's going to get a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered and says, okay, go ahead. It's all right. Well, they said, well, actually, it says, be content, I pray thee. In other words, it says, would you be willing to yield to the circumstances? That's what I mean, that word content means. Yield to the circumstances. Yield to the situation. By the way, we have a hard time with that too sometimes. You realize sometimes we can't change the circumstance. We just got to work within the context of the circumstances. Now, we have every right to take it to God in prayer. And God can move in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, we can take it to Him and let Him do what He's supposed to do. But we got to, the fact is, the situation is the situation. But it's not too big for God. There is no situation too big for God. Why do Christians run around poor mouthing all the time? Well, we can't do this. We better help do this. Well, we can't do this right because it's going to cost too much money. Now, I'm not saying be extravagant. We'll see that here in a moment. But we can do things right. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills and all the taters under the hills. And the guys with the shovels who dig out the taters. The whole world. Unless He owns them all. Now, we're not supposed to be greedy. He's not a big Santa Claus that gives us everything we want. I understand that. But there are needs. There are needs. This is going to sound funny. But we've built three houses in our lifetime, and every time we build a new house, all the building codes go up. You know, this used to be, you know, you want to put in fun. Now it's the law. You got to do this. You say, well, it's nice to do, but I really can't afford it. But wait a minute. Does God want me to have a house? Does He know how much houses cost? Did He promise to provide all my need according to His riches and glory? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My God supplied all my need according to riches. Listen, nothing is impossible. If not extra be extravagant, and I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel. But if there's a need, there's a need. In these days, do most people, unless you live in town right next to the place you work, do you need a car to get to work? That's just life, right? You have the right to say, Lord, I need a car. Now, we don't have to say, Lord, I need a 2015 Cadillac. What is it, SS, whatever, you know? I saw one of those. I thought, wham, what is that? Pretty cool. It really was. It was $53,000. You don't need one of those. Does it get you from here to here? Well, then, now if he gets you one that gets you from here to here with the air conditioning, all the nicer. But you realize you don't even need air conditioning. Take your coat off. Now, that one time we had a Ford minivan. I shouldn't say, well, it was a Ford. We had a Ford minivan, and the air conditioning went out. And then the window motors went bad. And it's July. I had the right to say, Lord, we need to do something about this car. We're all going to die of heat exhaustion. You know, but so listen, we have a right to ask God to provide. It's not wrong. And God can provide. So he says, so they said, well, I'll tell you what, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, okay, I'll go with you. Verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. So they're out there. Now, wait a minute. Watch these guys. They're doing their work. It's okay. So they were cutting down wood, and man, one guy's getting after it. I mean, he's getting after it. He's going, and all of a sudden, the axe flies, the head flies off the axe head. Whoop, whoop. You can beat that thing with a stick all you want, but you're not going to fell any trees with that stick, the handle of that axe. I love this. Verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, "Alas!" I love this. You know what the word "alas" means? Oh, pain. That's really what it means. Oh, pain. Well, that's a pain. Alas, master, sovereign, controller, what master means, God of all supplication that I can pray to, God of riches who has everything that I need when I pray to him. Master, what are we going to do now? He says, you know what's even worse? He says, I borrowed it. It's not even mine. He says, well, where to go in? Okay. Now, you know what? It's obvious that they thought that God could do something, wouldn't have bothered to ask. I don't know how to do that. I mean, when's the last time you saw an axe head floating? He says, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. Means it's the same word as the wood, as the beams that they were felling. Now, you know, you can speculate that and all this kind of stuff. Be honest with you, you know, maybe I'm forcing the issue, but I tell you, no matter what it is, if you could throw the cross in there, it'll work. All the answers falls back at the cross. I really believe it. I mean, that's not a big thing. I don't know what for sure, where at all, and I can speculate. But he says, but the fact is, he threw the stick, and what good is a stick going to do? We do the same thing with the cross. What good is that cross going to do? He died 2,000 years ago. So what? But see, it's not just a piece of wood. And it wasn't just a man who died. It was God on that piece of wood, shedding his blood, paying for all our sin. See, when God gets in it, everything, all the dynamics change. What was it, Joe Arthur? I told you that message. He says, little is much when God is in it, and God gets in it when you give him what you got. Let me say it again. Little is much when God is in it, and God will get in it when you give him what you got. I think it's a little bit of this going on. So he cuts down this tree and throws it in the wood, in the water. And he casts it in thither, and it says, which really means to throw it down. So he threw it down where the axe head had gone into the water. Can you imagine? Duh. What's that going to do? But I don't, be honest with you, I don't think these people thought it was all that funny. I don't think they thought it was all that crazy. All I know is God's man showing up. It means God's showing up. Something's going to happen. They're going to put a piece of wood in the water. Well, what good is that going to do? I mean, the wood's going to float, but what's that going to do with the... What are we going to do? Ride on this thing? and see if we can find it out there in the water and look. You know what I mean? We put all these little things in our mind. So he says, they threw it in the water, and it says, and the iron did swim. That means to make it to overflow, to bubble up. I don't know. He said, well, what? It doesn't make sense. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. If we could figure it out, it wouldn't take God. It's something beyond what we are. God says, I'll make your axe head float. Well, axe heads don't float. That doesn't matter to God. If we could figure it all out, it wouldn't have taken God. Listen, you say, well, I'm in over my head. I cannot do it anymore. Well, good. Let's see what God will do. There have been several times in my life where I've almost got excited. I mean, literally, almost shouted. We were so far down, everything was so ridiculously over our head that there was no other answer except God's going to have to do something. So now we're waiting to see what God's going to do. I haven't said a whole lot of these stories, but here recently a few times. But we were in college, going out to seminary. I'm not going through the whole story, but there were times when I didn't know where the next meal was coming from. I had been laid off. We didn't have any money come in. We had a rent bill. We had a wife and two kids. We had the school bill. We had been renting a house, our old house back here in Maryland. Those people said, we're leaving, so they're going to stop paying the money, which was paying the taxes and the mortgage on the house. So now all of a sudden we're going to be late behind that. And I don't have a job, and every place I look says, well, you know, you're going to be gone in a few months. No sense me hiring you. Yeah, but I got to live between now and then. We didn't know what was going to happen, but every bill was paid. We didn't tell anybody. Except him. Because he's the one that I wanted everybody to know, he'll supply our needs. You've heard the story. I could have called Dad. He would have written out a check. In fact, he complained a couple years later. Why didn't you tell me? He felt like he failed as a father because I didn't come to him looking for the money. I said, Daddy, not everybody has a dad that can write a check out like that. And I'm not going to do that. Honest, I'm not. I want to be able to say, God did it. I was excited. And what I was excited. Now, she was working part-time for minimum wage as a cook at a daycare, half a day. And we waited for her last check to have enough money to buy gas to get back to Maryland. That's all the money we had. But that's all the money we needed. Came back, and Dr. Smith said, you went a couple weeks off to relax before. I said, no, let's start tomorrow. No, can't wait the next week. By the way, can I have my first paycheck tomorrow? You know, I mean, it was tight. But God can make the thing float. How are we going to, listen, he can float your boat. How are we going to do it? He can float it. He says, therefore, he says, the iron did swim, says, therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. I think we miss it out. A lot of times we just don't bother to put out our hand. He says, I've got everything. I'll float your axe if you need me to, but you're too busy trying to figure out how to get the axe out of the water. You're out trying to find buying sonar so you can find that thing down there. You're going to find a metal detector. You're going to go buy some scuba gear. And God said, would you ask me? I'll float the axe, and then you put your hand out. We're too busy trying to do it on our own. Can you imagine if there was anybody in that crowd that didn't believe how idiotic that looked like? Axe fell down. Okay, put a stick down there. What's that going to do? And then when that thing started going, there it sits there, floating on top of the water. Now, let me make some points here with this, and we'll have to be done. Number one, There was a place where people went to learn the Word of God. There was a place where people went. And when they went, they heard the Word of God. Not the Word of man, the Word of God. It was a place that they could trust. They're going to hear the Word of God. They dwelt there. They spent time there. They raised their families there. It was day after day. It was important to them. It was their life. You say, well, everything's supposed to wrap around the church. They're supposed to be here all the time. You've got a family to raise. I understand that. But this needs to be like a home. It really does. This place needs to be like a second home to you. You're here, your family. We bear one another's burdens. We take one another's prayers to the Lord. Now, it's not our job. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take your needs to the Lord at the same time. Right? Pastor Dallas talked about that this morning, too. Want everybody else to pray for me, but we don't have enough. We somehow can't bring ourselves to get on our knees and pray for our own needs. Everybody else to pray. Let me ask you this. Are you willing to settle down to a place where God's Word is being preached and just learn God's Word? That's what he said. Settle down in some place. Now, listen, I'm not nothing, but I do think God uses this place. Sometimes we feel like we live here. I've had people say, I just want to put a cot up in the back room, might as well. And at the same time, in the same breath, they said, I'd love it. I could just put a cot up in the back room, just stay here. It's not me. It's God. Sometimes we feel like our lives revolve around this place. Well, it's not the place, and it's not a bunch of unnecessary motion. But you know what? We ought to love the brethren. We ought to love being with people, love the Lord. You know, he's our daddy. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to love it. Listen, if we have a place where you can't stand to be here, there's a problem one way or another. Either we're a mess or you're a mess, but somehow, something's a problem. There's a problem someplace. We ought to be of one mind. We're all supposed to be hooked to the same Holy Spirit, aren't we? That's what the Bible says. So he said, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. What's the mind of Christ? What the Holy Spirit has. Now, if I have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of Christ, we ought to be of the same mind. My wife and I are the same mind. She's using it this morning. But we're all the same mind. We ought to be of the same mind. Sometimes the people of church almost feel as much like family as their real family. How about you? I do. We need to settle into a church and make it home. I'm serious. Settle in a church and make it home. Well, what if I mess up and I'll be too ashamed to go back? Come back home. Now, I don't know whether you grew up in a family that shuns you when you do wrong, but that's not the way God's family work. Come back home. It's a hospital. Let us heal up the wounds, clean you off a little bit, come back. Now, we might be embarrassed, but we're not going to make a big deal out of it. You come back, we'll come back. Listen, there's time when you got to forgive me. And the multitude of words are one if not sin, and I always have a multitude of words. So I'm bound to say something you don't like or something I shouldn't have said. I hope you'll forgive me. Why can't I forgive you? I was out visiting yesterday, and it was way up toward, really wasn't, I mean, we got folks come a whole lot further than this, but it was way up the road a little ways, and this lady said, well, thank you so much. This is a lady who had come to visit here, and in fact, she lives right across the street from a family who comes here all the time. And she said, well, thank you so much for coming all the way up here. I said, well, you came all the way down there, at least I can do. I mean, it's not that far. We're family. Number two, the place of worship and learning had become overpopulated. The place of worship and learning that they have here become overpopulated. They had run out of room. It was getting tight. A word straight means narrow, squeezed into a small spot. That's a good thing. Last week we had 7 shy of 500 people here. I wish we were all here this morning. Sunday school rooms are getting kind of full. That's a good thing. That means more people are settling into the things of God. That's good. That's not bad.
Well, they're sitting in my seat.
I'm not even going there. We're not going to say we're full and turn anybody away. What are we going to do, put a no vacancy sign out on the door?
I'm sorry, we're full.
They did not appear to complain because there was too many people, but because there was little space to house them. Read it. They weren't complaining. Got all these people in here. What are we going to do? It wasn't that. They said, we got all these people in here. Can we build a little bigger? Let's expand. Let's do a little bit more. They did not leave because it was too crowded and someone was sitting in their seat. Leaving appears not to even be considered. Staying was the priority. So we've got to figure out a way to be able to, for us all to stay. Isn't that what he was saying? We're all here. So let's figure out a way so we can all stay here. And my guess is there's probably a few more folks. We're having children. By the way, we should be having spiritual children. Now, we got several babies coming in this year, so we got a few of those. That's fine and dandy. But you know, we ought to have new spiritual children coming all the time. We're being born again. They just needed to figure out a way to have more room. Number three, we can all do our part and complete this thing together. They were not looking for, they did not look for everyone else to provide for them. They says, this is our place. This is our issue. Let's do it. It's the family. They were not idle and they weren't lazy. They were willing to get an axe and go to work and bring some beams home. They did not see themselves as privileged or too honorable to do menial labor. They were willing to use their own energy, their own finances, and their own time. So let's go out, roll up our sleeves, and do this work. Because it's a great work. It's a growing work. People learn the Word of God. This is something that's a good thing, and we want to give the opportunity to as many as we can. Number four, the people wanted a leader. But watch me. They looked to God for guidance. So, well, they went to Elisha. I know, but he was the man of God who gives them the Word of God. It was different during that time. The prophet represents the word or the guidance of God, if you will. They saw the need of a leader to oversee the project. They said, we might get into some things and get ourselves in trouble, or maybe get into some things we don't know what to do, or get into some things it's going to be a hurdle we don't understand. We probably need to bring the resources, wisdom, into this project. They weren't too haughty or too proud to seek oversight. Oh, you just sit down there. We'll do that. No, they said, would you help us get some guidance in the multitude of counselors? Or one of, you know, is their safety in the multitude of counselors. I won't say that the multitude of counselors are one of not sin, but in the multitude of counselors, their safety. Their safety. And the leader needs. By the way, the leader needs to be willing to get his hands dirty too. He got out there and knocked that tree, cut that tree down. Leader needs to be willing to get his hands dirty. One of the first weeks we had a little extra crowd back here. We had several of our staff guys, and I didn't even know what happened until the next day, clean up areas where children had lost their breakfast. Yeah, fun. Never said a word about it. They just did it. Well, I'm staff. I shouldn't have to do that. Shouldn't staff have some extra privilege? There's probably somebody around here who can do that kind of stuff. There's a low life around here someplace who can do that. No. They just went in and did it. Never thought anything about it. Just did it. Well, they might have thought something about it, but they did it. Never said anything about it. Number five. They were content with a simple dwelling. They said, they're going to build a log house. They were humble. They weren't looking for marble columns and gold trim.
Well, we're the preachers. So shouldn't we get to have?
You know, listen, there's nothing wrong with doing things nice. And I think we deserve to give God the best we can give him within reason. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we can spend an awful lot of money on fluff. And if we're not careful, it actually repels those who are lost looking for a Savior. Now, it ought to be nice, ought to warm. I'm all for air conditioning and heat and indoor plumbing. You know, I am. Doors on the front and windows, I'm all for that. There ought to be some way we can make sure that it's God's will we always have padded pews. It's got to be God's will. It ought to be some way there's some things like that. I understand. But they said, you know what, we don't need houses of gold. It says they need a place to dwell. That word place simply means a spot. It means a locality. This is where the church is. And you know this. By the way, this is not the temple of God. You're the temple of God. This is the building where the temple of God meets. And so we ought to take good care of it. But don't worship this. We need a place that's sufficient in room. A place that serves the purposes of the people. That's what we need. That's what they needed. Number six, they were honest in their actions. He didn't make excuses that the axe was bad. Well, he hadn't given this cheap axe. I don't know what. I got that from so-and-so down the road here. I knew where that thing was going to fly off. Good thing it didn't hit somebody. I'll sue that guy because, listen, he shouldn't have given me an axe like that. That thing could have hit it. He didn't cover up the problem. He didn't go, "Twink." There's another one over here. I don't know what happened. I guess somebody stole or something. No, he didn't. He took responsibility. That sounds funny. But you know what? Our church should be known for them being have the most honest people in the area. Take responsibility. We pay our bills. Do what we're supposed to do. We ought to be known for being honest. They were honest. It didn't cover up the thing. They did not discount his responsibility of care. Well, you know what? You know, it wasn't really my fault. And, you know, it's just bars, so it really doesn't matter. Not mine. You'd be surprised how Christians try to do work for God like that. Number seven, we need to do our part, but we need the touch of God. Yeah, we need to do our part. But we need the touch of God. You realize that everything we have is a borrowed tool? Every good and precious gift comes from the Father above. Everything we own is just ours to borrow. My dad's been in heaven since late October. No, they're going to have a big auction March 30th up north. Going to have a big full-color print thing. John Holder showed me one the other day. It's the same type thing. And it's going to say, the car collection of Sterling Walsh. That's my dad. I'm a junior. Sterling Walsh is going to put a picture in there and a little story about him and sell because everybody in the Automobile Club of America and all this stuff all knew my dad. Hershey, they all know dad over there, the car club. And this is Sterling Walsh's cars. And you know, do you know how much he left? When he died, I'm very grateful that it was in December, he died in October, that he looked at me and he said, you know, Sterl, I guess there's some things more important than antique cars, aren't there? And I said, yep, Dad, there are. There's nothing wrong with having fun, nothing wrong with having nice things. But don't worship the nice things. And remember, everything we have is borrowed. And when you lend it to somebody, the Bible says you lend to the poor, God will repay. It's just ours to borrow. Everything's borrowed. Everything we have is borrowed. We don't, listen, watch. The power that it takes to do the work, the air we breathe is borrowed. We don't have what it takes to build the work of God. We borrow it from the Lord. Number eight, we need God to go with us when we go do the work. We need God to go with us. Elisha, God of supplication, God of riches. You can ask God for all your needs, and God has everything you need to answer your prayer. $1.9 million. Oh, my soul. How are we supposed to do that? With God. In His timing. Don't waste it. A few years ago, there was an article in the newspaper that says Baptist Buck Trend. We had our anniversary Sunday. We talked about what we were going to do, and it talked, had a little picture of the building in there and everything. And I made a statement. I forgot that I made a statement. And the statement was this. At that point, I said $1 million. I hadn't gotten the, you know, I thought at least a million. He said, well, how are we going to do it? So I don't know, but God's got the money someplace, and He'll find it when we need it. I still believe that's true. Money's sitting someplace. I don't know where it is, but we'll find it when it's time we need it. Number nine, there are going to be some obstacles that are beyond our control in spite of how careful we are. That goes for life, too, by the way. There's obstacles in life that's beyond your control. They're bigger than you are, no matter how careful you've been. The remedy is going to be beyond our ability to muster up. And since when can we make iron float? It just doesn't do that. There's no way we can do this with our limited ability, our limited resources. There are going to be roadblocks that will appear to stop progress in its tracks. But God can do the supernatural. I said that this project is too big for us to expect not to use it to build our church's faith and trust in Him. Let me say that again. Way back, I said, this is too big for us. God, this problem is too big that God's not going to use it to teach us some things. Let's say it that way. He's going to use it to teach us some things. Number 10, when we insist on having God with us, when we seek to build the work of God, God will be there when we need Him. I don't know. It kind of looks like Elisha was just kind of standing around watching. I don't know. Maybe he was. I don't know. But then there was a problem. And they went to him. And he says, okay, we'll just take care of it. Work would have had to stop. They would have had to go back to the man of God if he hadn't come with them. They would have gone back to the man of God and bring him there to fix the problem before they could continue to work. So this way, the problem was only a blip on the screen and not a disaster. Watch this. This is what I'm saying. We go off half-cocked on some tangent. We didn't take God with us. Then we get out on a limb. Oh, my soul, what are we going to do? Well, maybe we ought to go back and find God. Maybe we should have said, God, let's go. Would you go with us as we go? Is this a good thing to do? Yeah, go ahead and do it. Would you go with us? You see what I'm saying? You get the mind of God, says, is this a good thing I should do in my life? He says, yes, it is. His word says, this is good. He says, okay, good. And some of us just go ahead and go. These guys were smart and say, well, good. You're coming with us, aren't you? God, you're coming with us. We're not going if you're not going. And says they took him with him as they went. They just simply asked. He fixed the problem. He said, here, take it. And it was just a blip on the screen, and off they go again. But if they hadn't taken him there, and he said, I got to take care of this axe. It's not mine. He would have had to stop the work, go all the way back to Gilgal, back to Jordan. Why don't we just, that's a lot of problems. Why don't we just take him with him as we go? Insist on having him with us. Number 11, if we expect to do the work of God, whether that's building the church spiritually, numerically, or even actually a physical building, we're going to have to get God on it. In other words, only God can float the axe. He can make it swim. God needs to oversee us. He needs to see every aspect. Even an axe head. One axe head. This project may appear as unrealistic as watching a floating iron axe head. It just can't happen. It just can't be done. What may appear ridiculous and impractical to even suggest it is possible to overcome certain obstacles. But God can do it. He can do it in your life. There's something in your own heart that God's put in there this morning. Something bigger than you are is not bigger than God is. Now, we have a work to do. There are more people and more people who are seeking to learn the Word of God. Listen, things are getting crazy out there, and they're starting to wonder what's going on. If we can't, listen, we can't house all the people who call this church home. Then we need to, if we can't do that, then we need to build the house bigger. We need to be willing to roll up our sleeves and do what we can do. Give what we can give. On the other hand, we need to go to God and seek His guidance and seek His direction. We need to have Him there all along the way. We need to go to Him when problems arise. We need to go to Him when everything is going swell. We are not going to make an iron axe head float all by ourselves. And finally, this is what God says. Take it. Take it. That's what He told Joshua. He says, there are vineyards you didn't plant. There are orchards you didn't plant. There are houses you didn't build. There's whole cities that are yours. Go in and take it. But there were 10 naysayers that looked over and said, well, it's really nice. I know God says we can have it, but there's obstacles called giants over there. And we can't beat them. Well, no, you can't. But what are you telling me to go over there? Because God can beat them. God can beat them. Go in and possess it. God gives it to us, and we need to take it. It's a gift given by grace. And if we seek God's guidance and do what God tells us to do, there will come a time when God places this tool into our hands, and all we have to do is just take it. With God, all things are possible. Father, thank You for Your Word and for teaching us here this morning. And Lord, I know I've used the example of this building for the church, but Lord, that's really just a necessary problem that's to do what, like You said here, is not, but you know, just something that needs to be done to house the people. Lord, the great thing is that people are being saved and lives are being changed. That's the important thing. And Lord, there's folks in this room who have some obstacles. They've been going out and they've been working. It could be they even asked for Your opinion and then went out and did what they thought was right, but didn't take You along. And now their axe head is sitting at the bottom of the river. And they don't know what to do. Well, maybe they just need to take the trip back to Gilgal there and get along with God. Even if they have to make an extra trip. Like we talked about last week, sometimes you just got to go back to Galilee. Father, speak to hearts here. You know what's needed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. That's the first decision. You know you're a sinner. You know because of sin, we're accountable to God. God says, I'll save your soul. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll walk with you if you let me. If you're here this morning, you don't have that settled, would you come?